We're turning this evening in God's Word for our Bible reading to the Old Testament prophecy of Hosea. We're turning to the book of Hosea, the chapter 10, and reading from the verse 1 of the chapter, and just going down to the end of verse 15. You'll find the book of Hosea near the end of the Old Testament after the book of Daniel. And we're turning to Hosea chapter 10 and beginning our reading at the verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king. Because we feared not the Lord, what then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced in it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up upon their altars. And they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fallen us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an empty, and Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his claws. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth-Abel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 15. Our prayer is that God would bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And the text of scripture I want us to look at this evening are those words that you find near the end of verse 12 of Hosea chapter 10, where it simply says, it is time to seek the Lord. Now, the prophet Hosea, he ministered to ancient Israel at a time whenever they as a nation had turned away from God. Hosea was one who faithfully proclaimed God's word. He reproved the people for their sin, and he warned of God's coming judgment upon them. In Hosea chapter 8, in the verse 3, he says, there Israel have cast off the thing that is good. In chapter 9, in the verse 9, he says, they have deeply corrupted themselves. And then in chapter 10, and the verse 9, it says, O Israel, thou hast sinned. Because of their sin, Israel had provoked the anger and the wrath of God. In chapter 8, in the verse 5, the Lord says, mine anger is kindled against thee. And in judgment, God was going to allow Israel to be overrun by the Assyrians, and those who survived would be taken away as captives. chapter 10 and the verse 15, it says, "In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off." And then in verse 6 of chapter 11, it says there, "And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels." Yes, the sword of divine judgment was ready to fall upon the nation of Israel. However, in the midst of wrath, God remembers mercy. For in chapter 10 and the verse 12, there is the promise of deliverance instead of judgment. Yes, if Israel repented of their sin and sought the Lord for mercy, then they would know God's deliverance. They would know God's sparing mercy. Verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Now this condition here of Israel in the day of the prophet Hosea, it is also a picture in the gospel of every sinner before Almighty God. You see, the sinner is one who lives in rebellion to God Almighty. You think of the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, speaking of man as a sinner before God. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all." Because of his sin, man is under the sentence of divine judgment and hell itself. In verse 23 of Romans chapter 6, there the word of God tells us the wages of sin is death. However, in love and in great mercy, the Lord is one who offers to the sinner a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from sin. And this salvation means pardon from sin. It means peace with God through faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to experience this blessing, then, the sinner must seek the Lord for salvation. As it says in Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." And it is for this particular reason that then I want us to consider these words in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, when it says it is time to seek the Lord. For just as ancient Israel in the day of the prophet Hosea must seek the Lord for mercy and for deliverance from judgment, so every sinner must also seek the Lord if he is to be delivered from his sin, if he is to receive and know God's salvation in his life. See then, but think upon these words, it is time to seek the Lord. There are four things I want you just to note from this text of Scripture here before us. First of all, I want you to see here the importance of seeking the Lord. Our text says it is time to seek the Lord, and with such words, Hosea was pleading with Israel to seek the Lord. And that same plea, it applies to you who are still unsaved this evening. Yes, Israel here are told to only seek the Lord. For it was only the Lord who could help them. In chapter 14 and verse 8, the Lord himself says to them, he says, "From me is thy fruit found." He was their only Savior, their only hope and help. Likewise, if you are still unsaved, then it's the Lord alone that you are to seek for salvation. You see, only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can do helpless and hopeless sinners good. You think of what is said in Acts chapter 4 in the verse 12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Christ is the only Savior. In Hosea's day, Israel had a form of religion, but this did nothing for them spiritually before God. In chapter 10 and verse 1 it says, "According to the multitude of his fruit, he have increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images." My Israel were taken up with the false gods, the false idols of men, despite their religiosity. Friend, you may be religious, but let me say this, that if you are depending upon anything of self or anything of man or anything of this world for salvation, then like Israel of old, you're putting an idol of your own devising in the place of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hosea's day, the people were religious, but their religion was only a cloak to cover and to hide their sin. In chapter 10 and verse 1, it says there, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Despite their religion, they were a people who were only living for self and for sin without the Lord. Look at the charge against them in verse 13 of chapter 10. It says, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Friend, is this a picture of you? Is this how it is also with you? Yes, under a show of religion. You pretend before others to live for God, but the reality is that you're only concerned about living for self and living for sin. Well, listen to the Bible. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. God saw Israel's sin, and he also sees your sin. Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, was right when he says, God not only sees man, but he sees through man. In other words, God sees you through and through. He knows you better than you even know yourself. He sees your sin. You cannot hide your sin from God. In Hosea's day, ancient Israel had forsaken God in hope of their own personal gain. In chapter 9 and verse 1 it says, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. But their sin and their waywardness had brought them no gain. In chapter 9 and verse 2 it says, the floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Perhaps it's the case, dear friend, like Israel. Maybe you think that there is much to be gained by forsaking the Lord and turning your back upon God and the things of God. Maybe you think there's much to be gained by you living for self and sin and for the evil pleasures of this ungodly world. Well, let me tell you tonight that there's nothing to be gained. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of sin, it's a hard way. It's a difficult way. It's a way of ruin. In Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 8 there it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. And that's the end of sin. You think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel chapter 8. In the verse 36 when he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, in light of that solemn warning, see the importance of this call to seek the Lord. As God speaks to you this evening through his word, he says through his word, it is time to seek the Lord. Yes, the importance of heeding this call. But then secondly, I want you also to note the manner in which the Lord is to be sought. In Hosea chapter 10 and the verse 12 there it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Then it goes on and it says, break up your fallow ground. With these words, Israel were being called to break up the fallow ground of their heart. You see, their hearts had become hard because of sin. With these words, they've been called to repent of their sin before the Lord with contrite hearts. With these words, they've been called upon to seek the Lord on the grounds of the shed blood. You see, in the Old Testament, God had ordained that sacrifices be offered unto him. And these sacrifices were types, all pointing to the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. Indeed, speaking of that very same sacrifice in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist speaks of Christ and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, by the offering up of Christ as a sacrifice upon the cross, the people in the Old Testament were looking forward in faith to Christ coming and dying upon the cross for their sins. As you and I now, we look back in faith to what Christ has done on the cross, when he died as an atonement for sinners and cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." In Hebrews chapter 9, in the verse 26, it speaks of Christ. Then it says, "But now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Let me say that there is only one way whereby sinful man can be declared righteous before a holy God. And that way is one of faith. Faith in the blood of Christ. Faith in the righteousness of Christ alone for salvation. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the believers in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 20 and 21, he says these words. He says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There, when he speaks of Christ being made sin for us, he's speaking there of the sin offering of Christ upon the cross when he offered up himself without spot unto God. Dear friend, if you are to be declared righteous before God, then as a repentant sinner, you must trust in Christ as Savior. You must trust in the blood of Christ alone for the blotting out of your sin before God. You must trust in the perfect righteousness of Christ for your acceptance with God. Well, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verses 5 and 6. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Yes, Christ is the one you must look to. Christ is the one that you must trust in as Savior if you are to be right with God. Well, think of the words of the hymn writer testifying of his faith in Christ. He could say, "Vile and sinful though my heart may be, fully trusting, Lord, I come to thee. Thou hast power to cleanse and make me free. Lord, I'm coming home." With such words, he testifies of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, for his own salvation. And friend, this is how you must seek the Lord. If you are to be saved, if you are to be right with God, you must come by faith and repentance to Christ. Lay hold upon him with the hand of faith and embrace him and trust him for salvation. Yes, the importance of seeking the Lord, the manner in which we are to seek the Lord. But notice, thirdly this evening, notice the blessing that flows from seeking the Lord. Look again at Hosea chapter 10 and the verse 12. It says there, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." Notice those words there, reap in mercy. If ancient Israel repented of their sin, if they sought the Lord, then they would reap God's mercy. Then they would be saved from the coming judgment of God. Likewise, if you repent of your sin and you trust Christ as Savior, then you too will reap God's mercy. Yes, God will save you from a lost eternity in hell. And John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on him," that's Christ, "is not condemned." Yes, God will give to you eternal life and a home in God's heaven. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "He that hath the Son of Life." Yes, and trusting Christ as Savior, you'll also know peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. There it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting Christ as Savior, you will have all your sins forgiven by God. Listen to the promise of the Lord to those who trust Him. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Also, in trusting the Lord as Savior, the Lord will bless you abundantly. Look at what it says there in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "It is time to seek the Lord." And then it says this, "Till He come and rain righteousness upon you." In other words, when you trust the Lord, He'll bless you abundantly. You'll know His presence. You'll know His protection. You'll know His provision. You'll know His guidance in your life. You will know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You will know His joy, indeed His grace, to live the Christian life. Verse 16 of John chapter 1, it says, "And of His fullness of all we received, and grace for grace." Yes, God will add grace to grace when you trust Him as Savior. Speaking of the blessing of salvation, in their own life, the hymn writer could say, "O Christ, in Thee my soul have found, and found in Thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown." Oh, friend, tonight think of the wages of sin, the wages of the devil. What are the wages of the devil? What are the wages of sin in your life? The wages are sorrow, heartbreak, ruined lives, broken hearts, death and judgment, and a lost eternity in hell forever and ever. But on the other hand, the blessing of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it? It is life abundant. It is joy and peace and forgiveness of sins for time and for eternity. Over in Romans chapter 14 and the verse 17, speaking of the blessings of salvation in a person's life, there the Word of God says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Bible says, he that hath the Son have life." What a difference there is between the wages of sin and the blessing of God's so great salvation. But notice one final thought here in connection with our text. Notice the time for seeking the Lord. Our text says it is time to seek the Lord. And those words are in the present tense. There and then, Israel were to seek the Lord for mercy and for deliverance. But alas, they did not listen. They didn't heed the message of God's servant. Judgment came upon them. And those that survived that judgment were taken as captives by the Assyrian army and forces. And likewise, dear friend, God calls upon you now, even tonight, to seek the Lord for your salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The Bible says, "Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." You see, there is danger and there is death and delay. And you don't know, but this perhaps could be your last opportunity for you to get right with God. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, there's a very solemn warning there. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." None of us know what tomorrow may bring. There's a story told of a man by the name of Archaeus. He was a magistrate in ancient Greece. And he was warned of a conspiracy against him to murder him and to take his own life. But he was so taken up with the pleasures of this life and the sin of this world that he said he would consider serious affairs tomorrow. He would deal with this conspiracy tomorrow. His intention was to deal with the threat to his life the next day. The next day for him never came, for he was murdered that very night. And his procrastination, it was to seal his ruin and his death. And likewise, whenever it comes to salvation, yes, there are many, and they have procrastinated, and they too have said serious things tomorrow. In other words, I'll consider my salvation tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. They die in their sins and are lost in hell forever. Friend, listen to our text. It says it is time to seek the Lord. Don't you be one who says serious things tomorrow. Don't you be one who says, I'll consider my salvation tomorrow or next week or next month or some other day. No. Be wise now tonight and seek the Lord for salvation. Our text says it is time to seek the Lord. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times has it been pressed upon you to get right with God? Oh, don't despise the warning, the speaking voice of God. But now, tonight, wherever you are, dear unsaved friend, trust the Lord and call upon Him for salvation.